This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Let's welcome in our main man, James Hamm. James, you've seen as much or more Kings basketball than any of us. We were just going over some of the random players in NBA history who have lit up the Sacramento Kings. Mm. Which ones come? We referenced Troy Daniels, 8 threes in game winner. I think that was 2018. We just looked at it. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was 2018. Arco Thomas.
Yeah. Any randoms stick out to you?
Yeah, Jason Smith used to.
See, we didn't reference Jason Smith.
Jason Smith, the white guy, right? Like forward,
7-footer.
Yeah,
he would
play
like
for the Hornets, I think.
Pull up for like 12-footers and just he buried the Kings. I think 18 points one night. I mean, Chris Boucher. We looked it up today. Chris Boucher had a 38-19 game, like one time.
Like against the Kings or just in general?
Not against the Kings. Oh. Against someone else. That's like his career high is 38. But to allow like an almost 32-year-old rando dude to come off the bench and drop 24 on you, it's so Kings. And then look at all the guys that have done it so far this year. Every game there's, you know, the Garrison Matthews of the world or
Larson.
Peel Larson.
But the funny thing, it's not like this Kings team. It's like ingrained in the fabric of the Sacramento Kings.
It happened in the first game ever in Sacramento. No, it did. The first game ever in Sacramento, Derek Smith blew up for 36 points. The Kings, during that offseason, gave up everything to get Derek Smith, RIP. And then he blew out his knee and was basically done. Like, he barely played. But yeah,
we were doomed from the start.
He is the original bust you up. And, the randos, man, that's, you always have to, if you're a Kings player, Kings team, you always have to look out for just some dude that has no business crushing your soul.
We have broken this down into categories. There's the randoms. Hmm. There's the random randoms.
Yeah.
And then there's the who? And we have Boucher and Agbaji as randoms. Yep. Larson is a random. And then we put, do you remember that Troy Daniels game? You were probably there. Where he had 8 threes and hit the game winning three from like 29 feet?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that
so.
That old Arco?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking. I just so people know, I'm the first game ever at Arco Arena, the first game ever that the Sacramento Kings existed. Derek Smith went 14 of 19 for the Clippers, scored 36 points. No joke. Like he set the standard right there. And then the Kings in that offseason traded Junior Bridgman, Franklin Edwards. Oh, no, they came with him. They traded Larry Drew, Mike Woodson, a 1988 first-round pick, which ended up being Hersey Hawkins. And a 1989 second round pick for Derek Smith, who ended up doing absolutely nothing for the Kings.
Mm. So as Charismatic Enigma says, so it's all the curse of Derek Smith.
It is. No, I fully believe it is a curse.
Did you say God rest his soul? He's not with us anymore?
Derek Smith passed away at the age of 34 in 1996.
Oh,
yep. Yeah. Not great.
Well, thanks for cursing really the franchise, Derek, but rest in peace.
The year before he came to the Kings, he averaged 22.1, and then in that the year that he busted up the Kings, he only played 11 games, 23.5 points per game. One of them was at 36 against the Kings. Yeah.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Happened in the beginning.
Goes back forever. Just random guys beating up the Sacramento
Kings. Part of the fabric of this franchise now. 40 years in Sacramento. Well, here we go.
Three arenas. 40 years, and Rando's beating the Kings' ass.
That's right.
The good news is our guy on Monday, I don't even know if he played. Remember, it was Haywood Highsmith?
Oh, yeah.
I saw him on the bench. I don't think he got in the game. I said he was going to get more than 8.5 points. He did not. So,
speaking of Monday, this Monday, the Insiders and D-Lo and KC will be live at 32 Brewer Street at Sky River Casino. James and Kyle doing their show live for the very first time at Sky River Casino is a big kickoff to our canned food drive. If you plan on coming through, we'd really love to see you. We're going to watch Kings basketball beginning at 5 o'clock when they take on the San Antonio Spurs. We plan on heading over to the Humidor for some whiskey and cigars.
Yep.
Obviously, great food and drinks will be poured all day. But I'm really excited that James and Kyle get to experience that at Sky River Casino. So if you normally show up 12, try to show up at 10 and support James and Kyle, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. This Monday, Veterans Day. Yes, on the holiday, we're going to be at Sky River Casino, man. So come hang out. James and Kyle, the Insiders, kicking things off at 10 a.m. there at 32 Brewer Street. Hammer, this is the first time the Kings have played an opponent a second time this year. First one was, it felt like the story of that game was both three-point defense and lack of threes made on behalf of Sacramento, but they were still able to put up 128 points in that overtime game. We saw videos from Sean, from De'Aaron and DeMar, Sean Cunningham with De'Aaron and DeMar. Both looked really focused on this one, man, and it kind of feels like they've got to get back because they're the 1-3-1, and DeMar was like, well, we feel pretty good, but... 4-1 was there for us, and we kind of missed out on it. De'Aaron said the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the Kings should be riding a 5-game win streak here, coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But I put that Toronto game in a little bit of a different category. We talked about this last week. I mean, that's a tough, you know, mm-hmm. loss to pin on somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to... I mean, the travel was ridiculous. Everything about it was ridiculous, and you still took him to overtime. You know, sometimes that's the way a game goes. I don't put that in the, like, horrible loss category.
Sure.
If you lose tonight, I would put it in the horrible loss category. Mm-hmm. This isn't a great team, and it's not a great team missing, like, four rotational players. Mm-hmm. So at some point, you have to be a team that looks at a game like this, looks at your home win-loss record, which is 1-1 at this point. Say, look, we got to be better. We got to go get this game. You know, we even talked about it on the Insiders today with Kyle. Like, the Kings won 48 games 2 years ago. 25 of those came on the road. So they were 23-18 at home and 25-16 on the road. That doesn't make any sense. This is a great crowd. It's always been a great crowd. Like, whatever the problem is with this team winning on the road, I hope they figure it out. And I do know that, like, lately, at least the first two games, they did shoot in the main gym, which is something that I found very strange that they had not done over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They always, like, do their shoot around in the practice facility. I don't know if they did that this morning or not. It usually depends on whether the other team is coming in.
It didn't look like it based on the videos.
Sometimes what they'll do is they'll go shoot there and then they'll bring everyone over to the practice facility to do interviews because the other team is coming in.
Oh, gotcha.
So it kind of depends on what's happening there. But still, like, I would have my team shoot in the gym where short it seemed like every other team that comes in shoots the lights out.
And don't players prefer that?
I think it depends. Like, you know, they also like to be in their own, you know, they're in their practice facility all the time. Mm-hmm. But I would rather, like, shoot on the rim I'm going to shoot on during the game. Mm-hmm. That's sort of my way, my thinking on it. And we even had one day where I was there and Buddy Hield kept saying, hey, something's wrong with the rim. I'm like, what are you talking about? And everyone's just kind of like looking around. Like, hey, the rim is wrong. Something's wrong with the rim. And we thought it was just Buddy being Buddy. And it turns out that, like, when they were wheeling the stanchion in, it, like, popped onto a little piece of wood, and it was off by just a smidge. Hmm. But Buddy Hield could feel it while he was shooting. They had to pull the thing back out, like, clear out from underneath it, and wheel the stanchion back. But
Buddy's a genius.
Yeah, they brought a tape measure out to measure, and they're like, oh, no, he's right. There's something wrong with the rim. So, I mean, that's like a one-off where something like that happens. But you would think that you'd want to be in the same gym where the sight lines are the same and the feel is the same. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say to that, though, too, they get a lot of time out there in the gym before the game. Like, say they had shoot around in the practice facility, all those guys come out for warm-ups in the arena, and then they got the team warm-ups. They get time in the gym.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, though. If I could get into an NBA gym anytime I want to, I'd almost always want to shoot in the arena and get my shots up that way. That would just be me.
I think it's one thing to go in the practice facility and get, you know, 500 shots up on a Tuesday afternoon or something. It's a whole nother thing when you're in game prep mode, and it's not just like, you know, the practice facility is huge. You could almost fit a third basketball court in the practice facility. I bet you if you move the lines around, you could. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a gigantic spot. Mm-hmm. You get into the gym and it's, you know, all the seats are right there. Like, the lighting is different. Everything is just different. Like, even the practice facility is super, super, like, bright.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the inside of, when they're playing on the main court, it's not super bright. Mm. Yeah.
Transitioning to the on-the-court stuff, Hammer, one thing we were talking about earlier, being 7 games into this, you know, topic of conversation from July 6th, you know, all the way through that first game against the Timberwolves was, you know, shot distribution. Would one basketball be enough for everybody? Would everybody be able to get their points, get their shots, get their opportunities? And it feels like 7 games into this with DeMar, Domas, De'Aaron, and Malik, everybody's eaten.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of players that could probably, you know, still get a few more shots. I want Keegan Murray to take, you know, one or two more shots. I want Domantas Sabonis to get back to where he was, like, in the first week, where he's out there taking 14, 15 shots. Like, I think that that's a good spot for him, at least, like, the 13 and a half, 14 shots. And I think Malik is also a guy who hasn't really, really had, like, a full-fledged signature game. But I told you guys this in the beginning, he's a guy who is always going to struggle here to, like, figure it out, because he's the one who's had to play with different players the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, the starters, it's like 4 dudes are on the court at all times, and maybe they're switching out Kevin Huerter for Malik Monk or Doug McDermott, right? But that second unit has been in flux the whole time, and they just didn't go out and get him the player he needs. Like, there is not a lob threat for Malik Monk to throw a lob to. So that's going to put him a little bit off kilter. And so it's like his assist numbers are down. He's down about 2 points per game. You know, but overall, I think he'll be fine too. It's just tough. Like, in order to for everybody to get all the shots they want, realistically, you need to play faster. And sometimes you go up against a team like Miami that just puts the whole game in mud the whole time. And there's nothing you can do to speed it up. But I think that they'll figure it out. And I they're getting better. You know, you can see offensively, they just keep getting more and more complete. And even in this last game, you saw where everybody had an opportunity to have a big moment in, like, the final 3 minutes. You had the Malik dunk. You know, Keegan didn't, but Domas has a putback. DeMar hits the and 1-3. And the only reason they're in that game at all is because Fox put him on his back during the third quarter and carried him to the fourth quarter and gave him a shot.
Did when you talk about Malik and him trying to adjust to everything that's going on. I agree with you. I'd love to see him with the lob threat. But it looks like, and you probably see this too, he's starting to understand his spots to score are going to be in different places maybe they were the last couple of years. And you can see him almost in real time adjusting to that. Another thing I feel like they're doing a little bit more, and I could be wrong, but it feels like it, is they're making sure he's out there with Sabonis a lot of the time. So, like, when you're doing the substitutions and all this other stuff, if you're bringing Malik in, Sabonis will usually be in there because he doesn't have a finisher, in Alex Lynn, or they may even go really small and have Trey Lyles out there. It feels like they always make sure that Monk is out there with Sabonis so they can try and get some of that pick and roll tandem going on.
Yeah, I mean, they do it part of the time. You know, he comes in at the six-minute mark of the first quarter with Keon. That's been, like, the standard rotation at this point. Mm-hmm. And Sabonis plays most of the first quarter. They bring De'Aaron back in the final minute or two, and sometimes Sabonis sits then. Mm-hmm. But then they typically open the second quarter with Sabonis on the bench. And again, it's I never want to make it sound like I think someone's doing something wrong. Like, there's nothing Trey Lyles can do. He's just not a lob threat. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing for Alex Lynn. Doesn't matter how tall Alex Lynn is. Yeah. He would much prefer a bounce pass than a lob threat, like a true lob. Like, even when he does get a lob, he usually catches it, lands, and then goes back up with mm-hmm. it. That's just, he doesn't feel comfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, like, eventually you hope that maybe Isaac Jones or someone will step up and kind of be that type of player, but that's down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, last year they had JaVale McGee. You know, the years before that, guys like Chimezie Metu. Like, that's it's a very different skill that some players have and some don't. A lot of guys don't feel comfortable going up in the air in traffic for a lob, but then you have this group of players that do have that skill set, and the Kings don't have one of them at this point. And if they are going to have one, they're going to have to manufacture it. It's going to be like Isaac Jones learning how to play and then becoming that, because even that, I don't think he's a natural lob threat.
Is that important enough of a skill set to work someone into a rotation like that?
I mean, I'm not going to put a young player in that position.
Sure.
But let's say...
Well, if your favorite was still here, would JaVale?
Yeah, but let's say they had like Jackson Hayes, right?
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, that what Malik likes to do is create and be super, it's almost artistic on the floor, right? And having a player like that you can throw the ball up, like, it gets everybody excited. Mm-hmm. It builds on what he's already trying to build. Like, the lob is a huge thing for fans. Like, fans go, and that's why I think, like, De'Aaron Fox might be his best lob threat right now and that we're seeing. And that's crazy, but that's the guy that sometimes he feels comfortable going to. Even Keegan Murray, if he can develop that. But yeah, I do think it's something that maybe you could teach a little bit, but there are like super long athletic guys that just have that in their bag. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. I mean, the Kings still need like that type of player. They still need like a big man that can shoot a three and block a shot. Maybe rebound a little bit, you know, so you're kind of looking around the league like, hey, can you find one of those guys? I mean, John Collins is one of the great lob mm-hmm. threats. And I'm not saying to go get John Collins, but John Collins is an incredible lob threat. And he's one of those guys you're looking at, like, that on paper would look good. But then there's the $25, $26 million that he this year and next year that just makes him kind of like out of the price range.
Mm-hmm.
John Collins, when I've watched you talk a few times this year, he's actually played pretty good this year.
Played really well. Yeah.
The price tag is a little tough, but I wouldn't mind seeing John Collins coming off the bench for this team at the trade deadline. But we talked about, you know, these guys, and let me ask you a question first. How many times do you think Malik Monk led the Kings in scoring last year? Or if you already know.
No, I don't know, but I would say... 8?
It's pretty damn close.
It's pretty close. It was 6.
Yeah.
How many times do you think he's going to lead the Kings in scoring this year?
Oh, I don't know.
We put the number at 5.5, more or less.
I went less and significantly.
It was 7. I think it was 7 the year before. Seven I think it was before. 6 last year, 7 the year before.
I think I put it at less. I think it's significantly less. And I don't think that's a problem. I think it's going to be great. I just think it's more a testament to the guys that they have here now with DeRozan, Sabonis, and Fox.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too. If you go back and look at most of Malik's gigantic scoring output games, it almost always comes with a De'Aaron Fox giant explosion game. I mean, even remember in the 176-175 game, you know, Monk sets his career high with, what, 45? Mm-hmm. And Fox had, like, 41.
Yeah, 41.
Yeah, I mean, like, whatever it was. Like, when one of them goes off, when Malik goes off, a lot of times Fox and him, like, do dueling banjos, and they're both going off. I still think that there's going to be opportunity for him to be, like, that type of scorer again this year.
Yeah, I mean, he had 21 the other night. By the way, your partner over at the Kings beat, Sean Cunningham, just noted Kevin Herter is available tonight for the Sacramento.
Yay.
Oh, nice.
So after missing the last two, Miami and Toronto,
two,
Kevin Herter is back. Of course, we had Doug McDermott and then Keon Ellis.
Yeah, I've got to get better at checking the injury report like all day long, because I'm assuming, yeah, it just came up on the injury report.
That's so tedious. It's just like, because there's a certain time it posts, right? And you just like refresh. Okay, well, still the same.
It posts every hour, but on the half hour.
Okay, that's what it is.
So, yeah, there was a 1:30, a 2:30, a 3:30, a 4:30, and a 5:30 Eastern time. So the one at 2:30 just came out, and he was on that one. I don't know if he was on the 1:30, but let me see. Just for sake of you know, looking at the... No, he was questionable on the 1:30.
Okay.
Just upgraded to available, which is good. That's good for the Kings.
Absolutely. That's very good for them. But you were talking about Malik and the type of scoring outputs he could have this year. We did know he had 21 the other day. Like, it's not like he's not scoring. We were just like, man, I wonder with the way that DeMar is playing, with what De'Aaron is capable of doing, and the fact that Domas has had a great start to the season, like, how many times would Malik lead the team in scoring this year?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough just because that second unit right now is just – it's not playing all that well. Like, they're not firing on all cylinders yet. And you're starting, I mean, Mike has also only playing like three or four of them. But you're waiting for that moment when they start to like gel a little bit, and you're kind of waiting for Trey. And it's also, again, it's the reason why I think all of us looked at the potential starting lineup and saw Keon Ellis as like a really nice potential starter with the other four starters, because he doesn't need a lot of shots. And also why we looked at Kevin Herter as a guy who could really find like a home off the bench as a big time scorer. And all of a sudden we're looking at this second unit, and most, if not every night, they've been outscored. And like, you hope that that's not a huge issue down the road. But again, part of that's because Mike's playing like eight and a half guys.
And also that's probably, I think that might happen more times than not because of the heavy hitters that you have. Like, your starting lineup is better and is probably going to end up playing more. Like, we talk about the between DeRozan, Fox, and Sabonis, and you might even throw Keegan in there. Two of the three or four are always going to be on the floor. So when Fox is on the floor or DeRozan's on the floor, they're going to be option number one. You know, so it's not going to be like Mason Jones, let's see what you can you give us 10 tonight? You're not even going to get that many shot opportunities coming off the bench because the starters are number one so good, and there's always going to be at least two or three starters in there at all times. So I don't know if you're going to get much bench scoring outside of Malik Monk and maybe Trey Lyles the entire season.
Well, yeah, but I also think that at this point Mike's doing it out of necessity. Like, DeMar DeRozan should not be playing 37.9, Keegan Murray 37.9, De'Aaron Fox 37.4, and Domantas Sabonis 37. But I guarantee you, this, if you look at the on-court, off-court, the second those guys step off the court, you're in trouble. Especially like Keegan Murray. The second Keegan Murray steps off the court, the Kings are in all kinds of trouble. Mm-hmm. Like, his plus-minus, like, on the court, off the court, is wild. At least the last time I saw it, I mean, it was like a 24-point difference between him being on the court, the plus, and then minus when he's off the court. And I mean, it's just tough to replace a guy like that, especially when you don't have another guy who's built like him mm-hmm. that can do some of the things. So, I think part of it is just your second unit isn't commanding more minutes. But also, like, at a certain point, Mike is going to have to rely on those guys. And you might get to a point where if you do lose somebody to injury, where you just flat out don't have a player who's been playing very often, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're thrust into a role where they've got to play 24 minutes in a game, and they haven't played. They haven't played because that's the rotation that Mike's kind of going with early in the season. So I don't mind it while you're trying to gain momentum and trying to find your chemistry as a group. But 10, 15 games in, we need to see that number start to taper down.
Who do you think it expands to? Jordan?
Maybe, but I think we've all seen sort of their Jordan. I like him, but the limitations there, mm-hmm. like he's just not very big at all. Mm-hmm. And every time Mike does go to that lineup, it's usually a 3-guard set. And that makes it even tougher. Like you're running a 3-guard set with a guy who's, you know, 5'11". And like maybe the other team is having to adjust a little bit, but if the other team starts playing matchups and starts hunting, there's nothing Jordan McLaughlin can do to like hang out with a 6'8" dude.
Mm.
Huh. Yeah. He looks even smaller than I originally thought when he's out there. He looked like a little guy out there, but I love his IQ. I love the way he shoots the basketball. And he's just one of those guys that I don't think he's going to beat you, or excuse me, I don't think he's going to hurt you due to doing something that he shouldn't or not understanding where to be. Like, he always knows what he's supposed to be doing out there and where he's supposed to be. I like his minutes that I've seen so far, but to your point, James, it could be a matchup problem sometimes if you don't have the right lineup along out there with him.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at the numbers just so I'm being accurate here. When Keegan Murray is on the court, they have an offensive rating of 120 and a defensive rating of 106.3. Mm-hmm. So he's a plus 14.41 when he's off the court. When he goes off the court, the Kings' offensive rating goes from 120 to 105. Their defensive rating goes from a 106 to a 130.8. When he's off the court, the Kings are a negative 25.1. So on the court, if we match that, when he's on the court, they're plus 14. When he's off the court, it's a negative 25. There's a 39.2 difference with him on the court and off the court. He's a plus 39.2 on court, off court. That is wild. And that's offensive rating. That's like offensive defensive rating. His net rating is basically that. Mm-hmm. So, man. Yeah.
So Keegan has to play 48 minutes a game.
48 minutes every game. And if he does that, you'll win every game.
That's right. I mean, it's math.
It is. It's basic.
It's come on, anybody could do this.
It is basic algebra. Yes.
Well, we figured out this. So can someone get a hold of Mike and just tell him?
Hey,
we've got this whole thing figured out.
I'm telling you that the easiest way to fix this entire problem is to go get a second Keegan Murray. And this is the only time in the NBA where I think we can say right now that there literally is a second Keegan Murray out there. There is a second one. Go get the other one. Go get the and it's going to be tough, but you know, what do you got to give up? I don't know.
Get him out of here. I like that. Yeah. Get him out of here.
Come on. Go get Chris Murray. Put him on that lineup. Put your training staff to work.
Is Chris, he's not as good as Keegan. Like, what is Chris really good at?
Well, like, look, I'm going to point out very specifically. First of all, he's a year behind in development because he stayed in college mm-hmm. for a year. Mm-hmm. Secondly, look at what the Kings have done with Keegan Murray's body over the last 2 years. So Chris is a year behind in that development. But also, I don't think the Blazers are doing what the Kings did. They're not investing nearly as much time and energy into developing him mm-hmm. As they probably should be. Because look at the transformation, and like these are identical twins. Like, they're not going to be identical with everything, yeah. But there is a way, and I've told you guys this before, like when the Kings drafted Keegan, someone within the organization told me, both of the Murray twins have very young bodies. They grew late. They were late bloomers, and there's a lot you can do with players that come into the league like that, as opposed to, like, look at LeBron James came into the league at like 6'8", 255, right? Mm-hmm. They stacked muscle on him, and he's gotten in better, but he's still basically the same human being he was when he came in. He had already grown. He was already a full grown man at probably 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. And like, not like what we're normally talking about, like a full grown man. He was like a full grown, like 25, 28 year old man. And like, but as a 16 year old kid, mm-hmm. That's where I think the Murrays, they took longer to get there. And you see that a lot. I mean, what was it? David Robinson grew like almost a foot while he was in the Naval Academy. Mm-hmm. He went from like 6'1" to 7'1". And it was like, they're like, what in the world just happened? And you see that a lot. You also see a lot where players are like, they've got guard skills. It's like, well, because I was a point guard until I was 17 and I grew 7 inches. And now I'm a power forward or a center in the league. And
I was convinced that was going to happen to me, that I was going to grow like 5 inches in my like junior to senior year. That didn't happen.
When I was in eighth grade.
I don't think I've grown since my freshman year.
I kind of feel the same way for me. When I was in eighth grade, I was power forward.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be like, who's a power forward that just gets the rebound and goes? Like LeBron. I didn't think I was going to be as good as LeBron.
You hear this guy? I assume it would be LeBron.
I'm saying, LeBron, yeah. No, that's the style of play. I'd get the rebound, go coast to coast. That's what I used to do all the seventh and eighth grade year.
You hear this, right?
I do.
Dude, I was cutting the podcast. You made me put my headphones on. Like, used to be Allen Iverson at one point.
No, that's when I stopped growing. That's when I turned. When I was no longer growing and I wasn't a power forward, that's when I had to turn into AI.
Yeah. I was, when I was a freshman in high school, I was 5 foot tall. I weighed 95 pounds. I grew 10 inches in high school and another inch out of high school.
Really?
I was tiny. And my youngest?
I was going to say, yeah.
Up until like 10 months ago, he was like a little chubby. I mean, he's a dude that like went through the pandemic, plays video games all the time, mm-hmm. and he grew probably 6 or 7 inches and lost 20 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah.
As Chris, though, Chris will tell you, I was LeBron of that league.
Oh, you're still on that?
No, it's the fact. I would try to think of somebody who could co-sign. Ask Chris. Text him right now. Text Chris, who? Oh, yeah, I can't really be saying his name. But text our boy. Be like, yo, was he the LeBron of the basketball league? And he'll be like, yeah, he was.
Hey, man, do you remember however many years ago if Kenny was just dominating your guys' league?
No, not to mention, I don't know. I'm just, do you want me to text every Chris in my phone?
Well, no, the only Chris that would know.
Redacted.
Oh, that Chris. Oh, well, yeah.
WCW.
Yeah, I don't want to get him in trouble.
Uh-oh.
No. Why are they talking about you again? God damn it. Somebody shut him up.
That was damn
crazy.
Funny. He'll be like, he was kind of Bron. He was kind of Bron.
Okay, I'm not texting and asking that. I'm just absolutely not. Got
it. No, I'll text them and be like, hey, who did Kenny remind you of when you guys played?
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Little League basketball or whatever. I'm not even going to ask if you were Bron.
Yeah, send that. That's the text right there.
He's going to say Greg Oden.
High school Greg Oden. High school Greg Oden.
That's true. Hey, college Greg Oden was incredible.
Greg Oden looked 40 at Ohio State.
He did.
He looked like that today. Like, Greg Oden looked exactly the same.
I feel like I saw Greg Oden not too long ago. Like,
I think they did something on him. I don't know if they were like filming something. I don't remember if it was E60 or what it was. It was just this one scene. He was on campus. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the school. I don't remember if it was Ohio State or something, a different school. But he was on campus at a school, and he walks by this lady. It's an older white lady, right? Uh-huh. And she looks up at him, and she goes, "Are you a basketball player?" And he goes, "No, I used to be, though." And it was just like heart. It was like, oh, that's kind of tough.
Or Greg Oden.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, and then he just went along his way.
Hey, he had really tough. Like, he struggled with alcohol and everything else after, because his body just, like, gave up on him, and, like, losing, like, who you are as a person. That's tough.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're better at this. Both of you are. Greg Oden, Mike Conley, same year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're freshman team, class. Yeah, college teammates, Ohio
went
State.
To the national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Oden was nasty.
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah.
He was bad. I just remember, like, that's crazy that him and Mike Conley were on the same Ohio State squad, and we haven't seen Greg Oden in
ages.
Yeah. A decade?
Yeah.
They
at least. More.
And we see Mike Conley all the time because he still plays, but I'm always reminded because Reese is upset that Rob Dillingham doesn't play more, and he says, just put him in there for Conley. I was like, well, wait a minute. Dillingham's like 19.
His argument is, Conley's like 42. Get him out
but
of
that's
there.
How I always know, because he checks. He's, oh, Rob didn't play today. Mike Conley played a lot, though. I was like, all right, well, yeah, he's going to play. Still cooking, Mike Conley. Just signed an extension, didn't he? Didn't he sign an extension?
Mike Conley
year?
Did?
Yeah, like last year, I thought I he got
he
a
signed,
contract extension.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. Hey, he's 38. Yeah.
He's still a good ball player.
He absolutely is. Yeah. He's important to what they're doing. We'll come back. James Hammond, the insider, is here with us. The Sacramento Kings take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at the Golden 1 Center. Kevin Huerter is available to play for the Sacramento Kings, so we'll talk about all of that as D'Lo and Casey continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back here with James Hammond, the insider.
James like Sexy Red. You see him bopping over there? James like Sexy Red.
Sexy Red, Sexy Red do make people move. I say that. Or leave. Move or leave. One or the other. No in between with Sexy Red. You're going to either move or leave. James, if I showed you a picture of Sexy Red, would you know it was her?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Actually, up until the point you said her, I would not have known if it was a man.
Oh man. That's terrific.
Come on, man. Shout out James Ham.
James and the Insiders will be live at 32 Bruce Street at Sky River Casino this Monday, this Veterans Day. Come through, hang out. We would love for you to be with us. Of course, we'll be doing our show live as well. It's a full day of ESPN out there at Sky River Casino, leading right into the Sacramento Kings game beginning at 5:00. So the Insiders and Jiffy Lube doing some things together out there at 32 Bruce Street at Sky River Casino. If you can bring some canned food with you, man, that would be awesome. We're kicking off our canned food drive in preparation for the holidays. We do it with KSFM. We do it across all of our radio stations here. So If you guys have the means, if you have the ability, if you just have some things laying around the house that you know you're not going to get to, man, clear that cupboard out, bring it to us. We'll get it to people who can utilize it. Again, that is this Monday, this Veterans Day. You're not working. Come see us.
Come see us.
32 Grove Street, Sky River Casino. Two live shows and a basketball watch party.
Yeah.
Cigars, whiskey, and food. Come on, man. Come on, man. Plus, the new Aaron is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys got to make us look good. Where you dealing? We need y'all to show out. Where you dealing with Casey
told
gear?
You guys a couple weeks ago, I need everybody there.
Yeah,
we need y'all everybody to there.
We're gonna ask two big favors. We'll ask the other one on November 11th. So let's just get through the first favor first, and then we'll get to November 11th. So come see us. Kings Raptors tonight. We talked a little bit about Kevin Huerter returning. Missed the last two games. How much does that do for the offense when Kevin Huerter is out there? Obviously, Doug McDermott started the first game he was out. Not really a big threat. Kings put up points. Keon Ellis started the second one. Of course, that's the Miami Heat. That was a little bit more of a kind of grind it out, tough it out, to slugfest type game. How much does Kevin Huerter's presence on the floor change the way that those four guys can play on offense?
I think it changes everything. I mean, that's what we're seeing so far. And that's not, again, it's not an indictment on anyone else. It's just that, hey, Kevin Herter's played really well. And the Kings have played really well with Kevin Huerter. They adapted very quickly to him being back on the court. That's because a lot of players have played with him a bunch. But look at the two-man game that we've seen with him and Domas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's been great. I think one of the reasons why we've seen Domas, his points per game, tail off the last couple is because they're not able to get in that two-man game with him and Kevin. So, look, I think this is he's giving you what he did 2 years ago, and it's early, but that's what we're seeing so far. And you know, he makes a ton of sense with that roster, especially with DeMar and with Domas not shooting enough threes. Although I think both of them are doing their best to get their number up. I think, you know, between the two of them, they're like a little over five a game.
Speaking of the threes, are you worried at all about the overall 3-point shooting that this team has had in the preseason and now into, you know, the regular season? Do you think this is kind of who they are, or is this just a blip on the radar? They'll get up, you know, eventually to where we normally see them from a percentage clip.
Yeah, I think that they're going to get up to a higher percentage. Like, I haven't done the math, but I think if you take away, like, the one really weird 0 for 11 from Fox, you would see as a team that their number goes up. And anytime you're looking at, like, a seven-game sample size, it's really tough, how everything changes so quickly. I mean, we can talk about the Kings being one of the worst, like, defensive three-point teams against defending the three, and the Kings are 19th, you know, so there are a bunch of teams that are worse. As of right now, clearly the Kings need to do better than 33.1% from three. But even saying that, they're 24th, which means a lot of teams are starting off slow, shooting the three ball. I think they'll be okay. I think Keegan Murray's a much better shooter than what we've seen so far, and his, like, 30... Was he shooting 30.2% right now? I think Fox is going to bump his percentage up by 5% and be around 35, 36. I expect Keegan to be 36, 38 at least. And so you're looking at all these numbers, even Malik Monk, probably closer to 34, 35% on the year. I think everybody's got a little bit more to give. You're just trying to, you know, find everybody, you know, get everybody in their rhythm.
Safe to say you're worried a little bit more about the three-point defense than the three-point shot making?
Yeah. I mean, again, like, look, these things swing wildly from one game to the next, right? And, you know, I think we all got concerned about it in the preseason because the Warriors came out and hit the Kings with 29 threes in that first game. Number one, the Warriors have now done that to everybody all the way through the season. They're bombing threes at like an alarming clip. So that's who they are. But if you remember the next game, the Kings held them to hardly anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're going to have good moments and bad moments. Just remember that as this team, like, again, we always talk about them simmering the pot, and we always think about that on the offensive end. realistically, the defensive end is going to be worse than the offensive end. It's going to take longer for that organic growth to happen, the rotations to happen. There's a lot more going on the defensive end because the ball's not in play. Like, sure, you're chasing the ball a little bit, but when you have the ball, there's always like a very distinct, hey, you go stand in the corner, you go here. Like the offensive side of the ball, everyone wants to play that side of the ball, and they get better really quick. The defensive side of the ball, it just takes longer. It takes longer for new players that haven't been together to like move in unison. And we've seen moments where they do, but like overall, like there are some clear things. The Kings, they can defend the three better. Offensive rebounds, we heard about it, the crash zone nonstop, and then it's non-existent in the regular season. And this team is 24th in the league in offensive rebounding. Those are things where you're just kind of looking like, okay, this is going to take a little while. Mm-hmm. But then go back to the final play against Miami. How many guys crashed? Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And I agree with, you know, the numbers, but the numbers don't bear out like what I feel like I'm seeing. Like, I don't feel like they're one of the lower teams in offensive rebounding. It feels like they're getting a lot of tip outs and second chance opportunities. And I know you had mentioned that's was one of the points of emphasis coming out of training camp. I feel like they've done a good job with that, but I mean, the numbers kind of say differently, but I don't know. It feels like they're doing a good job. Keegan Murray seems to get in there a lot, you know, on some offensive rebounds. Maybe just sticks out, you know, to me when it actually happens as opposed to it happening a lot.
Yeah, and I think if we looked, we are seeing things like, you know, they're not giving up a bunch of fast break points, even though they are still crashing the glass as much as they can. Mm-hmm. But some of the guys, I mean, I've seen players just not go in and do it. And it's like, hey, that's not going to fly. Mm-hmm. If Mike watches a tape or if he's standing right there watching, There's only a couple of times you're going to get that where you're not doing what you're being asked, and that's to fly in and try to crash. And so I think that they're still trying to figure that one out. And it, you know, like, look, this is every team in the league is to a certain degree struggling, except for like the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder and maybe the Golden State Warriors, who are playing like way over their head. Everybody else seems to be, you know, like around the same level. I mean, the Eastern Conference having like no teams at 500 or above, like, it's just, what are they at? We've got two teams above 500 in the Eastern Conference. That's it.
That's crazy.
The rest of them, there's only three more teams that are at 500.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's wild.
Everyone else is under 500, and you go to the West, the top nine teams are all 4-3 or better. And then you got Memphis at 4-4.
Kings 3-seed in the East.
Hey, do away with conferences.
They're tied for the 4-seed right now. So, like, we can't look at where they – I mean, it's wild what's happening.
Yeah. I mentioned this earlier, wanted to pay this off. The Sacramento Kings have been great at getting to the foul line this year. Obviously the best that I think any of us can remember. Them being, of course, DeMar DeRozan likely playing a huge part in that. If it feels like there's a few more frequent whistles in the association this year, it's because there are. Last year through January, there were 19.6 fouls per game with 22.9 free throws per game. By the end of the season, when there was that shift in officiating, that number went down to 17.6 fouls per game and 20.1 free throws per game. So far this season, the average number of fouls per game is 20.8, with free throws being at 23.8.
Hmm.
Mm. So considerably more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what we've seen too is...
And still, Domas can get punched in the face and not get to the foul line. It's fascinating.
Play on.
It doesn't matter what the officials are doing. Domas has never been fouled before.
I don't understand how they didn't review that. You have a player who's bloodied, who it wasn't just his, I mean, his nose and mm-hmm. his lip are both cut.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't go back and look at it. And look, I don't think Bam intentionally punched him in the face.
Right.
That doesn't matter. The NBA rule says it doesn't matter whether it's intentional or not. We got to go review. It's a blow to the head, and it's a flagrant. He had two of them. The other one was on the rebound where he flew in and hit him in the temple.
Yeah.
That's not okay. I was watching the Suns 76ers game the other night, and Ubaselli pump faked underneath the basket, and Grayson Allen tried to fly in for a block and was going to land on his back or jump over the top of him. Instead, he put his knee out and kneed Ubaselli right in the back of the head. And they went back, they reviewed it, gave him a flagrant one, and said, hey, like, what are we doing here? And it looked like he was going to fly over the top of him, and then at the last second kind of got a little nervous about that, pulled his knee in, and his knee clocked him right in the back. Mm. It's flagrant. And they go to the tape, they look at it, they're like, two shots in the ball. How do you not do that with Domantas Sabonis? Like, and I'd say early in the season, he has not been hit in the head nearly as much as he had been before. But you go into that Heat game, and it was vicious. At least three times he got hit.
It seems
hard.
Like blood should trigger a replay.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
He walked off of the floor with blood on his lips. Maybe we, guys, let's look into this.
Well, that and you
poor
can,
guy did a DJ Moore. Just walked off.
You can go back and review that Keegan Murray's shot was after the shot clock, but you can't go back and look at that in real time? Like, why is that not going to Sekakis, and why are they not reviewing that while the game keeps going? It's clear.
Yeah. Hey, like, Bam just threw a stiff uppercut to Domas. Maybe send him to the line.
The crazy thing is, now that you mention all this, I don't think Domas has ever received a flagrant foul. Like, something happened to him. And it, like, not since he's been in Sacramento. We've seen black eyes. Mm-hmm. We've seen everything. Not once. It was, that's two shots in
the ball. Well, the stomp might have got him. I can't even remember what the stomp was ruled.
Oh, they threw him out. It was a flagrant two, and they threw him out.
Okay. Ah, he got
okay.
one.
So we got one.
Okay, but you remember...
He had to stomp on his chest.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray getting a flagrant...
In front of the commissioner. In the playoffs for it to count.
And it took about 20 minutes. They weren't sure.
Draymond incited a riot while they were reviewing it.
Yeah. And in the play, I mean, in his rookie season, Keegan Murray got called for a flagrant for hitting for a knee bumping Steven Adams in the little Steven Adamses.
Yeah, well, the Kiwis, mate.
Yep. And he checked to make sure they're all there and counted three. Like, one, two, three. Yeah. We're all good. But, like, how are you able to call that? But when someone gets, like, realistically punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And again, intent doesn't matter. Intent matters for a flagrant two. Mm-hmm. But for a flagrant one, that doesn't matter. Dude got punched.
It's crazy. Yeah, he got roughed up in that game.
I can't believe they really called me for that foul. I was just playing defense. And they called me. That was Keegan.
No, we know. We know what it was.
That's like Keegan if he worked in a cubicle.
James talks to him all the time. That does sound like Keegan. That's Keegan.
Are you proud of yourself when you leave here? Do you feel like you did good?
There are people in the parking lot. Boo that man!
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a component of that game we didn't talk nearly enough
about.
That
game was super physical, too. I loved it. I love watching it.
Well, and for Domas to still kind of be like, F it, and we got to get this win, and he's fighting through everybody to get that damn rebound at the end of the game and still get that little flick shot in to give him the win.
Ah, what a great shot.
He's got it. Like, he'll never get credit for it. He's one of the toughest players in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tough as nails.
Yeah, he'll never get like acknowledged as such, but like he is tough.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too where like maybe it's just the Bay Area made it, but like, oh, Sabonis, he's so soft. He's like the furthest thing from that. Like listen to the people that play against him. You know, not just the fans that just watch him on NBC Sports Bay Area. Listen to the people play against it. Like, oh man, that's a long.
They
night.
Talked about that on Starting Five, if I remember correctly. Like how physical he is, and how physical it is, how physical people are with him because he's so strong.
He had that. I think it was on Monday. It's a signature. It's something he always does. It wasn't like this super standout play, but sometimes like he's in the paint and he's pump faking and trying to get around, and then he'll just give this elbow into the stomach of the other player and wrap around it. Like he'll dig in and catapult to the other side of the basket with this elbow just right in their kidneys. And he does it all the time. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like it's fun.
Well, it's like the DeMar DeRozan move, which is so subtle. He dips his shoulder into somebody and then comes right up and like into his jump shot. Mm. So he creates this little bit of separation, not with an arm, but with his shoulder. And he's been getting away with it forever, so they don't call it. Mm-hmm. But that's how he gets that little tiny bit of separation. And by the time you close out on him, he's already up and it's too late to actually block him. And that's why a lot of times he gets foul calls.
Feels good to have one of those guys on the squad.
Yeah.
Feels good. I ain't gonna lie. It feels good. I mean, DeMar be going through there doing all this, falling back. They give him the, oh, cool.
That's our guy.
Yeah, there we go.
Guy.
Feels our guy. Good. Feels good.
No, yeah. What feels good is having a guy who can go get a bucket as quickly as he can.
That's right.
I think we were talking about this with the last Toronto game, Hammer. Like, they're down, you know, 8, 9, 10 points, whatever it was, with a handful of minutes left, and they can't hit the three. But it's just either DeMar taking the ball out of the basket or them getting a turnover and going to the rack. And at first I'm thinking they can't catch up. They're not going to be able to score enough twos. Like, they can't catch up. But they, you know, they got a stop here, a stop there, and they were able to get up the floor so quickly. And if DeMar wasn't getting to the foul line or De'Aaron wasn't getting to the foul line, they were getting a basket and wound up pushing that game to overtime. And that's just like it's why they went to get DeMar DeRozan. For moments like that. Like, we need a play. We have to have a play. Everybody knows last year. Everybody knows it's going to be De'Aaron. It might be Malik. Well, now you've got to guard everybody.
Well, that, and I think for as much as I didn't like the play at the end of the Toronto game, the three-pointer that, DeMar threw up with, like, 8 seconds left, or 6 seconds left. Mm-hmm. It looked like the Kings were just about to get into an offensive set to try to give him a shot.
Yeah.
And then, boom, he hoists it. And everyone's like, we weren't ready for that at all. There's no way for us to get a rebound because we didn't know it was going up. But then he does it the next game, and he gets, not only does he hit it, but he gets the foul.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, seriously, man. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. The,
like, in a 4-point game, you go and get an and-1 three.
Yeah.
And tie the game is like, oh, all right. I mean, you do. You got one of those dudes all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's a treat to watch, man.
Yeah.
It's only 7 games in. I'm like,
but that's the
yo,
thing.
He with us.
We got really good players here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's where you're trying to get kind of a, all right, they're 4-3. Like, what does this season really look like? Like, they got good players here. Like, obviously, DeMar's really good. Like, De'Aaron's good. Domas is having a great start to the season. Malik is good. Keegan's, you've gave us the numbers on Keegan. Like, it really does feel like this is a good basketball team.
I totally agree. I just feel like there's that one extra piece. Because, again, my problem isn't so much what you have right now. It's that in order to do what they're doing, they're playing 37 minutes a night. And that's out of necessity for me. Like, I'm looking. And you can say, hey, we'll give Malik some more minutes, give Kevin some more minutes. That's not the position you really need more minutes at. You need to find a way to get somebody that can help him out, like as a 4-5 or a 3-4, whatever it might be. And that's, I think, going to be the challenge from here on out. It's like, how do you get, like, again, look at what this team would look like if they had Dorian Finney-Smith. Mm. You know, and that's not just some massive upgrade. Yeah. It's just one other dude that can go out there and defend somebody else so Keegan doesn't have to play 37 minutes a night. And it's tough. Maybe you can find that guy. Maybe a Jay Crowder, you bring him in, see if it works. Mm-hmm. But I still think the Kings need just that one more piece. And maybe, you know, again, someone that can block shots if you could find it. But it's tough. You gotta, you know, that's going to take draft capital, or you don't have a bunch of other ways to do it. And maybe you could use a mid-level exception and absorb some of the salary into that. But, yeah, it's just complicated.
Yeah. Real quick, just because this came across my timeline, I know you'll appreciate this. Well, we didn't talk about this. Those two layups from John Morant the other night were two of the most amazing shots I've ever seen. Did you see them both?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, usually, Jesse will appreciate this, but usually, like, somebody will do something and like, don't ever show me Michael Jordan's switch hand layup again. I'm like, all right, young buck, settle down. Those two, yeah. That
I'm not sure how he pulled that off because he reversed crazy. And then switched hands too, right?
Oh, yeah. That was insane, man.
He set it up with the dunk. First he had the big dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone's trying to sky for the dunk. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm going to show you something new.
And he did it twice.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy. And
they, hey, They did lose by one.
Thank you. Shout out to Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn.
Brooklyn in the house.
What you think happens tonight, man? I'm on wax saying I think the Kings, I think they get their get back, and I think they beat the Raptors comfortably. The Raptors have good basketball players. I don't know if they're a good basketball team, but they have talented players. But I think the Kings are, there's a level of focus me and Damian have kind of been seeing from this team where I don't think they're going to mess around with the Raptors tonight.
Yeah, they need to not mess around with the Raptors. This is a game where, man, you got to get better at home. Like, you got to go out there and you got to punish a team, and especially one that just got you, you know. And I don't think what you saw in that Raptors game, so little of what they did was repeatable. Like, again, Grady Dick is going to score. He's a good shooter. He's going to score. But you can tighten up the defense there. And there's a big difference between Kevin Huerter and Doug McDermott defending Grady Dick coming out off the jump, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there is a big difference there. And, you know, if it's not working, you can go to rely on Keon Ellis some more. But what you can't do is allow a guy like Chris Boucher to just go crazy on you. Like, just figure out who it is, look at their team and go, who is going to try to have like one of those nights, and just try to snuff it out. Like, don't let that happen. Yeah. And I think they will win handily.
Well, or don't let two randoms do that. You know what I mean? Like, Agbaji and Boucher can't go crazy. How does that happen?
I don't know if you guys know, though, the first game after a road trip.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't want to hear anymore.
That's a good point.
No, it's tough.
Well, it is. But it's no life more. In the NBA.
It's a built-in loss, really.
No more.
So when the Kings return after going 4-4, we can look ahead to Los Angeles, because, you know, these damn first home games after a... Okay, seriously. It's just us. You think that gets said tonight? Slow start gets. Does that? Well, you won't know. You'll be there.
I won't know, but I will say yes. It does. Somebody will say it. Oh, yep. You know, it's always scary. The first game after a long road trip. It's like
somebody will.
I get it, but come on. This is not the game.
That cannot possibly. That can't be a thing. We have to eliminate that. The first game back from a road trip at home. No. What? No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Not doing that.
I'm ready to get rid of it, too.
If they all slept on Matthew's mattresses, they'd be better. The Chatty House, of course, brought to you by Matthew's Mattress. It is November. You know what that means. Black Friday savings are here. You can save up to $1,000 off of select Beautyrest Black adjustable mattress sets. You can check out door-busting prices on Beautyrest Harmony Queen mattresses for just $498. That's nearly half off. They've got 60 months special financing with no money down on approved credit with equal monthly payments required. Casey, find one of the locations nearest you.
That's right.
Head over to MatthewsMattress.com right now. Again, there are 9 locations. Go to MatthewsMattress.com. Find the location nearest you. Tell them D-Lo and Casey sent you, and make sure you are back here with us tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. with James Hamm and Kyle Mattson on the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam!
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.